Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 14th of January, recording at 9:22 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first the highlights here today. Asian stock markets, well, they were subdued for the most part. Japan and China were among a bigger part in Japan, and the Hang Seng Index were among the bigger decliners, 1.9% and 1.5% respectively. The European stock markets mostly closed with modest gains today. The biggest one that I can see on my screen appears to be the Swedish OMX index, which closed up 2%, but the others were all well under 1% that I can see currently on my Bloomberg screen. The Dow had a good day, up 1.36%, 171 points, and the S&P was up 15, the NASDAQ Composite 38. So a bit of a bounce back there. Elsewhere, government bond prices were generally firm here again today. I'm just seeing if they were. No, they're not that much off the day's highs, so it was pretty good performance. The U.S. dollar was weaker, currently trading after hours at 75.60, and it has been lower. Against that background, the price of crude oil bounced, currently $94.19. That's up $1.50. Gold is at $905. That's up almost $10, but it has been another $9, almost $10 higher than that here today. But the precious metals are all firmer. Most of the industrial metals are higher as well. The grain and bean complex was very strong early on, but then soybeans closed with a small loss, gave up those gains. Wheat gave up about half its gains. Corn was the strongest, but closed 3 cents off limit up where it had traded much of the day. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, obviously, stock markets are really quite edgy still. And the background news stories have been, well, one tries to resist hyperbole, but some of the articles that I've seen, some of the things that just get sent to me anyway because I'm on a list, or a number of the articles that some subscribers have forwarded are apocalyptic. And there are all sorts of comparisons with the 1929 depression, this type of thing. Well, to me, that's one great big contrary indicator. And there's an extremely interesting sentiment indicator that one thoughtful subscriber sent me from Asia that I will be posting shortly after this audio, which I think you will really be interested in. Sentiment actually is about the only indicator that I'm really interested in, because these are people markets, aren't they? Sentiment rules, and when everybody's thinking the same thing and fear reigns, well, they aren't really thinking. They're just being emotional, aren't they? Or a good many of them are. That doesn't mean that there aren't big problems out there. Of course there are. We know that. That's partly reflected in the prices. People will argue all day about whether it's sufficiently reflected by the prices. But I think people have been discounting a worst-case scenario. And we're also seeing a lot of measures taken to stem the risk, which is confined primarily to the West and to, you could say, Japan. So sure, we're getting some global slowdown, but the Asian region, ex-Japan, is doing really pretty well. The Middle East is doing pretty well. The central, well, certainly the South American countries are, for the most part, the bigger ones are doing pretty well overall. So it's and Europe isn't doing all that badly. The UK is fairly weak, and certainly the United States remains the epicenter of global risk, as I've said for quite some time. But let's not pretend that this is a replay of the 1930s or anything remotely close to it. And I don't think that the credit cycle has had it, but a lot of people do. And we will see, as they say. But meanwhile, watch those charts very closely, and I'll be posting some interesting ones here today. My best guess is that we'll see choppy activity in stock markets for a while. Don't be disappointed too much if the Asian markets are not impressed with today's rally on Wall Street, because they've seen this before and it lasts a day, maybe two, if you're lucky, and then Wall Street gets hit again. So people will be guarded here for a while, but which is hardly surprising. So I would expect some turbulent, choppy actions with the Western markets remaining on the defensive more often than not, or remaining under pressure more often than not. But I don't think we're going to get any kind of big rout over the next few months, and then I think things will improve surprisingly as the year unfolds. Now, what about these long-dated government bonds? They continue to take their cue from stock markets, and the message that bonds are giving us is that bond investors are not worried about inflation right now. There's plenty of talk about inflation in the headlines, in terms of, oh my goodness, if the Fed cuts rates, that might unleash inflationary pressures. There's talk of China exporting inflation, yes, exporting inflation. Most of the inflation is in food and energy prices, as you know. And then sadly, in some countries like the UK, government services. So I don't feel that inflation is a problem here right now. I think the bond investors are correct, although not all the bond investors are long in those markets. I'm talking about long-dated government bonds now, because they think that inflation is a low risk. Some of them have retreated to what they hope is a safe haven. And it will remain so until people are more confident that the US has either avoided a recession and will continue to avoid a recession, or else that it's gone into a recession and is coming out again, and that global GDP growth is picking up. When people begin to feel that global GDP growth is picking up once again, and this isn't going to happen tomorrow, then these bond prices will start to weaken once again. They will be short sales at that point, but not yet. What about the currencies? Well, there's a big gathering out there among currency forecasters that feels that this is the year of the dollar recovery. I find it a bit hard to envisage that against the background of falling interest rates. If people felt that the Fed had just about completed its interest rate cuts, and that moreover interest rates are going to start, short-term rates are going to go back up, then that might be another story. Interest rates aren't the entire story, obviously, but with the US economy under the cosh, as it were, and with interest rate cuts, further interest rate cuts absolutely guaranteed, that's hardly a tailwind for the US dollar. So I think we'll probably see more of what we've been seeing recently, which is a bit of ranging, but with a dollar more likely to retest its lows than break out on the upside anytime soon. Now, among the various different currencies, that Asian group of currencies is really quite strong. Then the resources currencies are strong. The euro is punching above its economic weight because it has become an increasingly important reserve currency, as a number of governments wish to switch away some of their reserves from US dollars. They're also doing that into sovereign wealth funds, as you know, but they won't go entirely into sovereign wealth funds. And so the euro remains a bit more popular than the dollar. I think we can see some further strength there. But essentially, it's going to be countries that have the stronger growth that, and some of those have higher interest rates that will attract interest as well. Now, what about these precious metals and these grains? Well, the grains, soft commodities generally, the agricultural commodities have been the momentum play in recent months. I've been saying, I think for a number of weeks, that precious metals looked like joining them, had the potential to join them in a momentum play. That seems to be very much the case right now. And I'm currently working on a feature for Comment of the Day just to help us to identify the eventual end of this medium-term move that's underway in gold. I feel that the long-term secular uptrend will go on for a number of years, but it isn't going to do it in a straight line. And for those of you who are in the gold shares, not to mention futures, we want to be able to monitor price action and have some idea when this, as I say, this medium-term move spills over into another correction similar to perhaps to what we saw in 2006. One wouldn't want to ride that all the way back down if another one of those is on the cards. And if gold carries on at its current pace, another medium-term correction will become an increasing probability. And industrial metals, well, a lot of analysts have buried them in their reports, focusing on copper as much as any. But copper had that failed break beneath the $3 level. It's currently at 333 and on the way back up. So we had a downside failure. That suggests to me that we'll get back up and test the highs up around that 370, 375 region, I believe. And, I think that's pretty much it for another day. So I'll just say, as I do so often at the end of these broadcasts, all the best to all of you.